live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition, a new league year edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Former MVP, did play for the Raiders, won an MVP with the Raiders. Rich Gannon, he's going to stop by right at the top of the hour when the new league year does commence at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Ryan Hot Take Kiki will join us in studio today at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. You know, if I was a cheesy radio host, I would send out a very emotional post right now and a post of great thanks, like, oh, I'm so fortunate to be on the air right here on the Infinity Sports Network as the new league year starts. No place I would rather be. And right, just hype up the moment. But when 4 p.m. Eastern time does occur, and maybe I'll put my foot in my mouth at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and I could be wrong with what I'm about to say, I don't think it's going to be that crazy. Because years ago, we used to get right to 4 p.m. Eastern time, and it was like, bam, news after news after news after news. But now with the legal tampering period for the last few years, sometimes you do have a player leave an organization at the altar because these deals are not final, right? Nothing can be final until 58 minutes from now. But since we already had Monday and Tuesday and a little bit of news on Wednesday, like just look at the way the news cycle did go. On Monday, it was all the way at the top. Then Tuesday, there was a big step down. And today, there's not a lot of news. And we're all kind of being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers. And we're sitting here, we're waiting, and we're like, all right, Aaron, enough already. And, right, there was a tweet out there. And just because there's a tweet out there doesn't mean it's going to happen, because you never know who's, like, legit on Twitter anymore or who's not. But there was some tweet speculating today that, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to join Pat McAfee. Well, Pat McAfee's show is already over. And unless if I missed it, which I don't think I did, I don't think Aaron Rodgers joined Pat McAfee today to make his announcement. Also, I heard Peter Schrager say, I forget where it was, and may have been on the NFL Network, right? That's where he works for. That this Rodgers stuff could take up to 4 weeks. If that's the case, Aaron, just retire. If you take 4 weeks to make up your bleeping mind, just admit that you're a drama whore. All right? I don't need Aaron Rodgers to be talked about. And I know we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot, but for 4 more weeks. It's such an obvious decision, right? You either go to the Steelers or you go to the Giants. I don't think, even though Brett Favre is now advocating for Aaron Rodgers to join the Vikings, I don't think the Vikings are opening up their building to Aaron Rodgers. I don't. You know, Tennessee, oh, he has a house in Nashville. Maybe he'll wind up with the Tennessee Titans. I've already heard that rumor before. So it's not going to happen. It's either you go to the Steelers or you go to the Giants. And why would you go to the Giants? Not that the Steelers are this great destination, but with the Steelers, you're not going to get this ending of like Peyton Manning riding off into the sunset after winning Lombardi Trophy. Or Brady leaving New England. I know it wasn't his final season, but going to Tampa Bay and winning a Super Bowl. You were in Green Bay for a while. You won a Super Bowl early on in your career. And then you had good teams towards the end of your run in Green Bay. And not every loss was your fault. But there were moments in the last few years where you couldn't beat San Francisco. And in that game, I'll blame it on him. Right? He was trying to force the ball to Devontae Adams when I think he had Alan Lazard wide open down the middle of the field. You had Tampa Bay in your own building. As you had home field advantage, Brady threw not one, not two, but three interceptions in the second half, and you were Mr. Three and Out in the second half. So if you couldn't get the job there, done in Green Bay, you go to the Jets, all right? The Jets have some talent. You got hurt the first year. All the air went right out the balloon. And the second year, you were rusty, and that team wasn't as good as what you thought they were. So, like, the ship to me has already sailed on Aaron Rodgers. And this idea of Aaron Rodgers getting a second Super Bowl, or even just playing in a second Super Bowl, you know, I think that's the crazier part with Aaron Rodgers. It's not that he hasn't won a second Super Bowl. He hasn't even played in a second Super Bowl for how talented he was for so many years. So now this idea of Rodgers winning another one after he couldn't get the job done in Green Bay, didn't work out in New York. So now he's going to go somewhere else and that team's going to be a Super Bowl contender? No. The Giants with Aaron Rodgers would be lucky to win like 7 games, if we're being honest. You know, maybe 8. That's the apex. But if he goes to the Steelers, you know what his Super Bowl would be? His Super Bowl would be winning a playoff game. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, who used to be about winning Super Bowls, they have not won a Super Bowl or a playoff game, excuse me, since the 2016 season. So if Aaron goes to Pittsburgh, let's say they go 10-7. Let's say they win 11 games, even if they don't have a home playoff game, right? Even if they don't win the AFC North. Like if the AFC North goes to Baltimore or to the Bengals, if you could go on the road wild card weekend and win a playoff game, which I think Aaron Rodgers could do, that's the best that I could see it going for you in Pittsburgh. But if you're going to take 4 weeks, which I don't believe, but if you're going to take 4 weeks, and I could put nothing past Rodgers, but I don't believe that's going to be that long, even for Rodgers with the drama game that he plays. But if you're going to take 4 weeks, just retire at this point. Because a four-week wait to see you go to Pittsburgh and maybe at best win one playoff game is not worth my time. So this is from Andrew Filippone, Pony Express. Great NFL insider Peter Schrager, watching him on the NFL Network, says it could be up to 4 weeks until Aaron Rodgers makes a decision. The Steelers are giving him some space right now, Schrager said. And then Filippone said, you've got to be kidding me. I don't buy that. I don't know. I thought today we would get the news. I did. I'm starting to think that we don't get the news today. And could this carry over into next week? Yeah, I guess anything is possible. Here's why. Because the Giants and the Steelers aren't ready to pivot to the next move. So that's where Tennessee could actually make this interesting. Because for both teams, when Rodgers snaps his fingers and Rodgers says, hey, I'm going to Pittsburgh, then the Giants will immediately sign Russell Wilson. If Rodgers says, hey, I'm going to the Giants, then the Steelers will immediately sign Russell Wilson. Does Russell Wilson want to make this interesting? Does Russell Wilson maybe say, hey, I'm going to go sign with Tennessee, and then one of those teams, the Steelers or the Giants, will be SOL? That would be fun to see. Because let's see if Russell Wilson, who's the backup plan now for the Steelers and the Giants, announces today at 4 p.m. Eastern time, I made my next decision. I'm going to go sign in Tennessee. Well, if the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers, then what do the Giants do? They either have to get a quarterback at 3 in the draft or call up Mike Borgonzi with the Tennessee Titans and say, okay, you have us by the you-know-what. We'll go on out there and we'll give you what you want for the number one overall pick to guarantee that you get a quarterback. If, let's just say, Russell Wilson goes to Tennessee, Aaron Rodgers then says, I'm going to the Giants, then the Steelers have the potential. I ultimately do think Rodgers will sign with the Steelers. But then the Steelers have the potential to be the biggest loser of the offseason, which is wild because how much have we gone out of our way to praise the Steelers for going on out there trading a second-round pick for DK Metcalf and giving him a 5-year, $150 million contract? But Steelers fans, what happens there, even though I think you're getting Rodgers, if you see Russell Wilson say, I'm done waiting, I don't want to be the backup option, I'm going to Tennessee, and then Rodgers goes, you know what, I had a change of heart, I don't want to go to Pittsburgh, I'm going to the Giants. Then what do the Steelers do? Justin Fields is already off to the Jets. Now, nothing's official, but it becomes official in 50 minutes. Geno Smith got traded to the Raiders. Sam Darnold is with the Seahawks. It's like, what? Kirk Cousins? But then I read something right before we got on the air that according to Yahoo Sports, the Falcons are expected to keep Kirk Cousins through Sunday's deadline and pay him the $10 million he's due, poor Charles Robinson. So I don't even know if Kirk Cousins then is available. So what the heck would the Steelers do if we get to a spot where Russell Wilson goes to Tennessee, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Giants? You want to hear a funny suggestion? And this would be weird because this guy's associated with the Ravens. But we've seen Joe Flacco go to Cleveland. Could you then imagine Joe Flacco at 40, who's still out there, and I gather he wants to play? Can you imagine then Joe Flacco starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers? So that becomes fascinating. If Russell Wilson says, you know what, I'm done waiting for the Giants and the Steelers for me to be their backup option, and then he goes and jumps to the Tennessee Titans. But also, could the Giants panic here? That's the other thing. Because I know people could say what they want about Joe Shane, and I know Joe Shane has been dragged through the mud the last year. I don't think he made the wrong decision to initially allow Saquon Barkley to go. But if Saquon Barkley found his way to Chicago or Houston, I don't think that we're slamming Joe Shane as much as we are. The reason why Joe Shane gets slammed is because Saquon Barkley, ended up going to Philadelphia, right? That hits you a little bit more, right, close to the heart. That hits closer to home because that's a division rival. But I also have to say to Joe Shane, like, last year, you were looking for a quarterback. Last year, you were at three. Last year, you had four, you couldn't get your guy, right? We saw with the number one overall pick, you had right off the board, Caleb Williams go. Then Drake May went three. Jaden Daniels went two. So last year, the Giants were out of luck in terms of getting their quarterback. I think the Giants actually had the sixth pick, if memory serves me right. But they wanted a quarterback, and they couldn't find a way to move up in the draft to go get that quarterback. So they couldn't get him. And you had to go into that season with Daniel Jones. And we all knew Daniel Jones was done. So do the Giants say at a point, I can't run the risk of Russell Wilson going elsewhere, even if the options don't see that robust for Russell Wilson, and just realize that right now, in all likelihood, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to the Giants? Like, I can't figure out the argument. And I don't know, Stu Santer, I'll ask you this. Can you make an argument why Aaron Rodgers would rather go to the Giants over the Steelers? Because I have one thought, but outside of that, I'm dumbfounded by he would pick at this stage of his career the Giants over the Steelers. Sam, I'll start with you.
The only thing I can think of is Rodgers likes to control his own narrative, and the Steelers are a lockdown organization, a good organization with a solid ownership and a no-nonsense coach who might just be like, listen, maybe not like the way some of the other stuff has happened in the past with the Jets, like, oh, you can't do Mac if you can, but maybe more of a controlled setting that he was not going to be able to have his own way, whereas the Giants are so desperate that they might just be like, you know what, just please come here and do whatever the hell you want.
So I do think that that's part of it. I don't think that's the reason why he would go there, but I understand the point that you're making. That's not the reason I was thinking, but you're right. You go to Pittsburgh. Yes, Mike Tomlin has dealt with big personalities acting up. We have seen that. You know, though, that Mike Tomlin is the boss in Pittsburgh. And I think that there will be a mutual respect between Rodgers and Tomlin. Well, Rodgers still do McAfee, right? He'll still do some crazy things, but I don't think that's going to be that contentious of a relationship. And I said that from the start. I think there will be a mutual respect there where I put nothing past Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think there would be that much drama and that much chaos with Tomlin and Rodgers in Pittsburgh. You, though, go to the Giants. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is being told what to do by Joe Shane or Brian Daboll, just like how he wasn't going to get told what to do by Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. So it's a good thought there, Samter, but not the one that I was thinking of. Stu, you have an idea?
The only thing I was thinking of is he likes New York after his 1 year there, and or I guess 2 years now, and doesn't want to move again. That's really all I have. I can't think of another good reason.
So the only thing I think of is the money. That's the only thing I can think of. And I would say you've made so much money at this point, I would take less to go put myself in a better situation, but there's been some conflicting reports out there about what the money is. And if it's just about who's the highest bidder, the Giants aren't going to get outbid for a quarterback this late in the game. That's the only thing I could think of why he would go to the Giants over the Steelers. I'm not saying there's not merit to what you guys are saying, right? Because the control could always be a factor. The destination to me is not that big of a deal. Like, Aaron has enough money where if he really wants to be in New York, you get to New York whenever you want. Those are potential thoughts, but ultimately maybe it comes down to the money, and I never put that past the players whatsoever.
He's made $380 million in just salary alone. Yeah.
But
right?
Samter,
plus endorsements and the discount double check.
Say this respectfully.
Yeah.
That's you saying that. That's me saying that. That's Stu saying that. when you make that much money and you play this lethal sport, it's an ego part of it. It's about getting the most amount of money possible. Like Myles Garrett, the only reason he's staying in Cleveland is because they gave him a ridiculous contract offer. If it wasn't for the money, Myles Garrett would go elsewhere. So players, some say they want to win, and right, that's priority number one. But you could say you want to win and talk yourself into being in a situation that could turn around or a situation that's considered a winning situation if the money is right. All righty, Zach Gelb here on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, let's do a little early offseason grades. Stu's going to give me the name of a player, and I'm going to give the grade of that player going to that team and also the way that the team should grade out as well. We'll take a timeout, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Two things that have nothing to do about what I just teased. Number one, I saw a great question today, and it was pick your breakfast. So it's options A, B, C, or D. I'm going to do this right now. Let me just drag the photo to my desktop. And I'm going to text this to Samter, and I'm going to text this to Stu. This is the beautiful part of live radio, because I want your guys' answer as well. But I think it's a very tough decision to make. Now, I just sent it, so hopefully it will get to you guys within 30 seconds or left. Option A, it's chicken and waffles. Option B, scrambled eggs, a stack of pancakes, and bacon. Option C, two sausage links, sunny side up eggs. It looks like those are some home fries and some toast. And then D is steak, two sunny side up eggs, and I can't tell if those are grits or if those are hash browns.
Those are hash browns.
Those are hash browns.
Yeah, I think those are hash browns.
Okay. So what's your choice here? Because I have one. I've already identified the choice that I'm going, but this is after much deliberation.
I'm just going to say very unequivocally, I've never understood the chicken and waffles thing. Fried chicken in the morning just does not work for me, so I'm canceling A immediately.
Really?
Oh, fried chicken, greasy fried
Samter,
chicken in the morning? No, thank you.
Take a few puffs, then you'll understand why it works good. That's all I'll say. It'll calm you down, too. So you take A out of it.
At like 8 in the morning? No, thank you.
After a late night of drinking, too, you need a little grease. It's not the worst thing in the world. But it would not be my option one. I agree with you.
So for me, I'm going B. Pancakes, bacon, and scrambled eggs.
Okay. Stu?
Similar to Samter, I will take out D. I am not a fan of steak in the morning. I just don't.
Guys are out on A and D, and the decision is really between B and C for you guys.
Yes.
Bacon, scrambled eggs, pancakes for B, C, sunny side up eggs, two sausage, and then you also do have some home fries, which need to be well done. If they're not well done, I'm sending them back. And then a little toast.
Yeah, I'm between B and C with the pancakes, bacon, and eggs is the first one, and the sausage, eggs, and potatoes is the second one. I will go with the pancakes, bacon, and eggs as well. I think that's like the best, like sweet and savory mix. That's probably my go-to.
We're all B on this one then.
All right.
Because I'm B as well. Bacon with eggs, phenomenal. And then if you give me a stack of pancakes too, and you put some blueberries and chocolate chips in them, I absolutely love that. I have been on a pancake kick or a pancake craving like the last 3 months. I haven't had pancakes in forever. And then I've been trying to go home like once a month to visit my dad and my mom and my sister and my niece and my brother-in-law. And anytime I'm home, my mom makes delicious pancakes. And she puts blueberries and chocolate chips in them. And I've been on a big pancake kick recently.
I just have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is something I've recently discovered.
With me?
No. No.
With pancakes?
No. With pancakes.
Oh, well, watch your mouth there, because this could be a detrimental statement if you're about to be critical of the pancake.
No. I picked B also. I'm a big pancake guy, especially with like fruit and stuff in there too. But I've recently discovered the crepe pancake, like a Swedish pancake, rolled crepe type of thing with like a powdered sugar and like a lingonberry butter. I've gone to like IHOP and the original pancake house. It is incredible. I love pancakes, but these are delicious. Nothing inside it. No like Nutella. No, just a very soft, thin, crepey pancake that you roll up with some powdered sugar. It's incredible.
I'm not going to knock it because this is my rule of thumb. I don't knock something if I haven't tried it. So this is a crepe, and like if a crepe and a pancake had a baby, Whatever you just described, I guess would be the offspring?
That's exactly it, right? So it tastes more pancake-ish, but with the thinness of a crepe. So it doesn't taste necessarily like a crepe. It tastes more like a pancake. And then you roll it up, and they put some, like, you know, flavored butters or maybe some, like, fruit on top or inside, and then you put some powdered sugar. If you go to IHOP, get the Swedish pancakes. I recommend it, and you will never turn back.
I also started a fight yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Seth Payne joined us on the show, and he was just basically saying how Texans fans were kind of tired with Laremy Tunsil, and this isn't just because they got traded. And I thought he gave a very good, interesting take on it. I still think the Commanders did a heck of a job on the trade, and I question what direction the Texans are going. But I respect a differentiating opinion, and I respect the opinion of Seth Payne. So, Linnell Willingham, who has filled in for us, and also Linnell Willingham, who hosts here on the weekends on the Infinity Sports Network, and he's a hardworking guy, you know, covers the Commanders, works for the team in D.C., and also 106.7 The Fan. So Linnell Willingham saw Seth Payne's rant, and this is a lot of Odyssey on Odyssey crime. I'm the host, Seth Payne, an Odyssey talk show host. Linnell Willingham, also an Odyssey talk show host slash reporter. So Linnell Willingham tweets out our video and says, so Texans fans and media have convinced themselves that this was a good deal for them. 1, 2, 3, 4 laughing face emojis. Name 3 better left tackles. I'll wait. So I saw this tweet and I didn't have a problem with it, but you're asking Linnell, can you name 3 better left tackles? And I think I can not only name 3, I think I can name 4. So Trent Williams, when he's healthy, is better than Laremy Tunsil. Jordan Mailata is better than Laremy Tunsil. Tristan Wirfs is better than Laremy Tunsil. And the snowman, Deion Dawkins, is better than Laremy Tunsil. And there's some other guys that you could have a conversation entering 2025. Like, is Garrett Bowles, Rashawn Slater. But those are 4 that I can name. So Seth Payne, he went back into his old tweets and he pulled up a tweet from January where it was, I hold Tunsil to a higher standard. He could be an all-pro, genuinely top-tier guy. If he would just run block the way he should, it's glaringly different from the Trent Williams-Panay Sewells of the world. And those guys commit about 1 to 2 false starts per year. The inattention to detail from a team leader is frustrating. So when the whole O-line is as ineffective as it's been, it's hard for me to heap praise on a bell cow who sets a poor example. Now, that's what Seth Payne tweeted back to Linnell. And I haven't seen anything since from Linnell Willingham. So I would want a response from Linnell Willingham back at Seth Payne. And yes, this is me stirring the pot. There is no doubt about that. Now, I'm just curious because I didn't think about this until now. All pro voting 2024 offensive tackles. I'm wondering how the rankings kind of play on out here. Because, like, all Linnell was saying was, can you name 3 left tackles better than Laremy Tunsil? So all pro voting for this year, and remember, Trent Williams, I can't imagine, got many votes, if any at all, because he was hurt for most of the year. So Tristan Wirfs had 98 votes. Jordan Mailata had 46. Deion Dawkins had 26. Rashawn Slater had 13. Garrett Bowles had 9. So those are 5 linemen right there. And then Laremy Tunsil had 7. Trent Williams ended up getting 1. So there you go on that.
I will say this. I know that PFF is not the end-all be-all, but especially for offensive linemen, it's one of the best
markers. Yeah, I would say this about PFF. I appreciate the information.
Yep.
I'd rather have the information than not.
Yep.
I'm not devaluing it, but I always say I take it with a grain of salt.
100%.
It's like I feel with all analytics.
It's just, you know, with other positions, you can use stats or the eye test, it's really hard with offensive linemen because you have to understand, you know, protection plans, and you have to understand
pancakes.
Now I want pancakes. But
you know what? Laramie Tunsil likes those crepe pancakes that Samter was talking about. Deion Dawkins likes the real butter pancakes with the chocolate chips and the blueberries.
Seth Payne called him soft. He said he can't run block. That's what you get when you like the Swedish pancakes. But
are you saying you're soft, Samter?
I'm very soft, especially around the midsection area. But according to PFF, which is really like the best indicator of offensive linemen that we can really have without having statistics at our fingertips, Laramie Tunsil was the 19th ranked tackle in the NFL last year. 19th.
I didn't think you were going to give me that stat. I thought you were going to give me a stat here that was like, oh, he was third or fourth.
19th.
19th.
Jordan Mailata, Rashawn Slater, Penei Sewell, Teron Armstead, Lane Johnson. Now, this isn't right tackle, left tackle. This is just tackle.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Penei Sewell's a right tackle.
Right. So it's not necessarily differentiating, but there's a lot of guys on here who are ahead of him, and I don't know which ones specifically are right and left 100%, but there's enough names there that you can certainly make the conversation there.
So I think what just happened here shows a bigger issue with just social media, right? And right, I've done this before, but it's always like you got to slam dunk on someone. And you can't admit that maybe there's reasons for a trade where it's not always one team just completely abuses the other team in the trade and makes it lopsided. The Texans felt like there was a reason why they wanted to get rid of Laramie Tunsil. Is Laramie Tunsil as great as what the average fan thinks he is? No. Could I also say, oh, Laramie Tunsil's a player if I'm the Washington Commanders, that I would give up what they gave to go get him? Absolutely. If you recall when we talked to Seth yesterday, I was the one that said, I like this deal for the Commanders. Give me a better understanding of it. And Seth said, well, he's not good at run blocking and too many penalties. And this is a growing issue that I didn't realize, to be fair, of Texans fans having with Laramie Tunsil, not just, oh, he got traded and now all of a sudden we're going to say he wants out. But I do find it funny. Linnell's like, and I know it's an obscure position. Left tackle so important, obviously. But in terms of us talking on the radio, we're not sitting here and spending a full segment like we just did most days on left tackles. But when you say, can you name three left tackles that are better? I don't think it's that difficult to do. And if you want to say, oh, well, you can't say Trent Williams because there's some questions after Trent Williams coming off the injury. Well, I gave you the three left tackles that right now I think are better with Jordan Mailata, with Tristan Wirfs, and Deion Dawkins. And I don't think any of those three guys are up for debate. And not that the all-pro voters are the end-all be-all, but Wirfs, Mailata, and Deion Dawkins had the three most votes out of left tackles this year. So it's a good move for the Commanders. The Texans, it's now, what are you going to do to replace him? But I think that you could have both parties be right here, where Linnell is like looking at it saying, hey, how dare anyone criticize Laramie Tunsil? There are reasons to criticize him. He's a very good player. I wouldn't say he's great right now. He's someone that you would want, and it makes sense for the Commanders. But I think that they're is more of a thought and more of an explanation that Seth provided us yesterday that was helpful, that ends up giving us a little insight on why the Texans ended up moving off of him. All right, it is Zach Gelbshaw on the Infinity Sports Network. First segment, if I follow this rundown, we were supposed to talk about the Bills adding Joey Bosa and the Ravens adding DeAndre Hopkins. Instead, we talked about Aaron Rodgers. Second segment, we talked about pancakes. We talked about Seth Payne and Linnell Willingham and offensive tackles. We were supposed to talk about offseason grades. The next segment, we're supposed to talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown and his comments about the Bears. We will not do that in the next segment. We will do our offseason early grades when we come on back. And here's something that we will not move off of. The only way we move off of this is if he doesn't call. But Rich Gannon is going to be joining us coming up in under 30 minutes from now, a little under 30 minutes from now, right at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So let's take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do some early offseason grades when it comes to players going to new teams. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, this is Zach Gelbshaw, Infinity Sports Network. Rich Gannon will join us 18 minutes from now. You don't want to miss it at 4 p.m. Eastern time. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question. Brought to you by Rally Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsZ or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Adam Schefter, now official, Jets are releasing Aaron Rodgers after 4 p.m. today. The Jets will take on the $49 million in dead money by releasing Rodgers. He's being designated as a post-June 1 cut, meaning they'll carry his $21 million cap hit until June 1st when it drops to $14 million, saving $7 million. A lot of numbers you don't care about. But then they will absorb a $35 million dead cap hit in 2026. So we're sitting and waiting and wondering where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. I still say the Steelers. Stu, do you still say the Steelers as well for Aaron Rodgers?
I think it's going to be the Steelers, yes.
Samter, do you still say the Steelers?
I still believe the Steelers, but I just saw pictures of Aaron Rodgers walking shoeless on the beach in California. First time he's been spotted, so he's not in a darkness retreat. He's not in Egypt. He's in California. He's wearing a backwards hat, earbuds, and a blanket as he walks along the beach at sunset or sunrise or something. So it looks like he's very contemplative.
And the sand will hit the toes of Aaron Rodgers, and it will elicit a feeling throughout his body that will tell him, you can't go to the Giants. You need to be a little bit tougher. You can't go freeze your ass off in Minnesota. You need to be Pittsburgh Steeler tough. You need to go to the Steel City.
You know something like that's going to happen.
Was that Zach after dark?
No. That, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. The sand hit my toes, and it told me to go to Pittsburgh. It told me to go be tough and be a Pittsburgh Steeler with Mike Tomlin. Jeez. Aaron Rodgers. All right, Stu, give me a little music here. Stu's going to give me a player. I'm going to tell you what the grade is for the team that he's going to and the move that did go down with that player winding up on that team.
All right, let's start off with Sam Darnold going to the Seahawks.
I'm going to say a B. I still think there's a lot of question marks about it. Like, how can Sam be without Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson? You don't have Tyler Lockett anymore in Seattle. You don't have DK Metcalf, but you still do have Jaxon Smith-Njigba and also Kenneth Walker. I think it's kind of low risk, high reward, where it's $55 million guaranteed. It's a three-year contract. It's easy to get out of. I think it's a younger option for Seattle, but I don't know how much better he is than Geno Smith. So it's a fine move. It's worth the gamble. It's a B. I don't think that it's anything wild, though.
Davante Adams also heads west. He goes to the Rams.
A. I like this. I think he's more reliable than Cooper Kupp. Unfortunately, Cooper Kupp, the last 3 years, has only played in 33 games. So Cooper Kupp was just officially released today. So I think that this is an A. Davante Adams is a better number two at this stage of his career than Cooper Kupp is. And you got Puka Nacua, who changed numbers from 17 to 12. And the Rams still have an open Super Bowl window since they did retain the services of Matthew Stafford. So I go A for Davante Adams.
Najee Harris joins Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
It's because of the position that I'm not going to give this an A. And Najee Harris also isn't a superstar like a Derrick Henry or a Saquon Barkley. But I think Najee Harris, who's had four straight 1,000-yard seasons to open up his career, is going to benefit more and be appreciated more in L.A. with the Chargers and also working with Jim Harbaugh, who Jim Harbaugh loves him some running backs. So I'm going to give this a B+. Which, unless if you're a superstar running back like a Derrick Henry or a Saquon Barkley, I think a B+ is the highest I'm willing to go for a running back that's not a star running back. So I like this move a lot.
What about Daniel Jones to the Colts to compete with Anthony Richardson?
D. I just don't think there's much here. Even if Daniel Jones gets the starting job in Indianapolis, can he play well for two or three games? Sure. You know, you have Jonathan Taylor, you got Pierce, you got Michael Pittman Jr. Do I look at Daniel Jones as this quarterback that the Giants messed him up? I don't think the Giants were a great destination, but I also think Daniel Jones should have been the sixth overall pick in the draft. I think Daniel Jones will ultimately play in Indianapolis, but that's more of an indictment on Anthony Richardson, more so than me saying Daniel Jones is this great quarterback. So I go D.
All right, what about Justin Fields going to the Jets?
C-. It was more money than I actually thought, $30 million guaranteed on a two-year deal for the services of Justin Fields, who basically has accomplished nothing. I still don't know what Justin Fields is. I know he needs to work on throwing the football. I know he could run the football. In Chicago, it wasn't all his fault. I put that more on the Bears organization. But then he goes to Pittsburgh, and he was winning games, playing fine. It wasn't like going crazy. It wasn't knocking your socks off, but he was playing fine, and they benched him. And was that because they didn't believe in him? Or was that because Mike Tomlin felt like he made some promise to Russell Wilson? So I'll go C minus here. I think it's a gamble that's fine where the Jets are going to punt till next year to find their future quarterback. And they don't lock themselves in long-term with Justin Fields. It's only a two-year deal. With Garrett Wilson, there's familiarity. You have Breece Hall. So can he be potentially successful? Sure. But how is he going to be throwing the football? It's still a major question mark to me. So I think it's a C-minus move. It doesn't make me say Justin Fields definitely going to be a disaster, but I also don't think he's definitely going to be great.
All right. Milton Williams goes to your New England Patriots.
A-minus. And here's why. I like that the Patriots overpaid for him because the Patriots the last few years have developed this reputation of being cheap. And this is the most money they've spent on one free agent, on one contract in the history of their team. I also think Milton Williams showed his worth last year in that playoff run. And he's a young player. And now, yes, in New England, you're not going to have next to you Brandon Graham. And you're not going to have Nolan Smith. And you're not going to have Jalen Carter. The Patriots' defensive line, we'll see what happens with Christian Barrymore and the blood clots. Keon White needs to be more consistent, right? He was a good start to the season, then didn't do much after the first few weeks that I loved. But I think Vrabel's going to help him out. So there's going to be more asked out of Milton Williams. But I think Milton Williams is on his way to becoming a more respected player in this league. We got a little bit more of a smaller dose, and now there's going to be more thrown on his plate in New England, and I think it's a very good signing. So I go A-minus, and I also love that the Patriots did break the bank for him. So that also factors into the A-minus grade as well.
All right, Myles Garrett gets his money and stays in Cleveland.
What do you think I'm going to grade this?
I'm going to say like a D.
Really?
For Myles Garrett, yeah. Oh, for the Browns, it's good. The Browns keep one of the best defensive players in the league. It's probably like a B+, but for Garrett himself, it's probably a D.
So I put this as a B, and I thought I was going low here because there's multiple ways you can interpret this. Like, yeah, the Browns kept Myles Garrett. No one thought the Browns are going to be able to keep Myles Garrett. You can't strong arm him. So that factored into it. And also, Myles Garrett just got the bag, $40 million a year. But the reason why I didn't make this an A, because the player is an A++, but I put it as a B because, yeah, it's nice to see a player stay with one team. Sure, it's nice that Myles Garrett got a ridiculous contract, and I was impressed that the Browns were able to keep him, but I also just feel terrible for Myles Garrett, which is weird to say you feel terrible for a guy that just got $123 million guaranteed and $40 million a year, and he made that decision. But I don't want to hear him bitching a few years from now, oh, I'm not happy in Cleveland. This team can't win. Because you're a dummy if you ever thought Cleveland was going to turn this around. So I put it as a B. And the more I talked it out, so you may be right. I may have to knock that down a little bit more. But I'll stick with my grading of a B. Because I was more so impressed that the Browns were able to sway Myles Garrett. I know they just threw a bag of cash at him. But they were actually made him say, okay, I'm actually going to say and put pen to paper. So I go B there.
What about Joe Tooney, who goes from the Chiefs to the Bears?
A+. So Joe Tooney's still a heck of a player, even though he's getting up there in age. That guy is on a trajectory to be in Canton, Ohio one day. And the Bears, with also getting Jonah Jackson and Drew Dolman, they have completely revamped their offensive line, which outside of finding a good head coach, revamping that offensive line was priority number one. So you could give Caleb Williams a chance to actually succeed this year and reach his potential. So Joe Tooney, I go A+.
All right, what about Geno Smith to my Raiders?
What would you give this grade, Stu?
Say like a B-.
Okay, so we're not that far off. I went C. Do I think Geno Smith is a long-term answer? No. Do I think Geno Smith will be a top 10 quarterback with the Raiders? No. But the Raiders are on a weird trajectory where they're not as good as the Broncos, not as good as the Chargers, clearly not in the same class as the Kansas City Chiefs. But Pete Carroll's on limited time and he's trying to restore them to respectability. So they need to bring in a veteran quarterback and there's familiarity there. So I don't think Geno Smith is that great. I don't think he's bad. And I think this is another placeholder guy where the Raiders have been stuck. So that's why I kind of give it the most average grade that I could in a C. And C still gets degrees. That's what I kind of learned when I was at Temple University, at least for my major. So what do we got?
All right, what about
another? And that's a 30 under 30 person, by the way, that's got right. C's to degrees.
Congrats.
And still got honored by the university. Thank you.
What about another former Seahawk, DK Metcalf, going to the Steelers?
Hey, so I still think there's questions on how great DK Metcalf is, but the Steelers have been trying now for the last 2 years to get another piece to complement George Pickens. I think DK Metcalf, hot take of the day, is better than George Pickens. And also, I think this puts some pressure on George Pickens because the Steelers would be fools to extend George Pickens this offseason. So they said, not only are we going to bring in another wide receiver, we're going to bring in a wide receiver that's better for you. Give up a second round pick and also pay him 5 years, $150 million. Let's see if you matured, George Pickens. Let's see if you could handle that. And if you go and ball out this year, either two things will happen or three things would happen. We'll let you walk in free agency. We'll slap the franchise tag on you, or we'll reward you and give you a contract. So I love the DK Metcalf move for the Steelers because it gives them a replacement plan for George Pickens, which is actually an upgrade. And also it challenges George Pickens, and we'll get the ultimate test if he's actually changed from the nonsense that we've seen the last 3 years with him.
All right, last one here. We have Deebo Samuel going to the Commanders.
Who?
Deebo Samuel.
Oh.
Your guy.
B-. I think it's a fine move. I think it's a nice complimentary piece to their number one wide receiver in Terry McLaurin. I'm excited to see what the athleticism of Deebo Samuel could do when he's paired up with Jaden Daniels. And I like Brian Robinson a lot there. And you also have Austin Eckler, I still believe, is under contract with the Commanders. But there's a lot of mileage on the tires of Deebo Samuel. And he's someone that I think he's on the decline, but he could still be a very productive player. It's just, when is that tire going to pop? When is the air going to come out of the balloon? And I think he's already on the decline. I still think he could be good, though, for another year or two. So I will give Deebo Samuel a B-. All righty, this is Zach Yelp Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll talk about the future of Aaron Rodgers next. We will also talk about Geno Smith getting traded to the Raiders, Sam Darnold landing in Seattle. Are the Raiders now out on a quarterback at six since they do have Geno Smith? And also we'll get some thoughts on some other quarterback situations around the league with former NFL MVP, now with SiriusXM NFL Radio. Rich Gannon joins us next.